Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
And we're back. We're going to break it down now. So just real quick on the tax increase. The folks that they're talking about increasing taxes on now are just the people over $1 million of actual income on their tax return.
Yes.
So that's not a millionaire. It's somebody who's making $1 million a year.
Right, which is probably maybe not a billionaire, but certainly a multimillionaire.
Somebody who's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And those people, let's see here, according to, I did a little analysis not long ago, but 2009 data, which is pretty good. It's pretty recent. A million and up on a tax return, that is 319,000 returns out of, call it 140 million. So that's 0.25% of all tax filers. So not a lot of people, but they're in that, obviously in the top 1%. That group paid 318 billion with a B, which is about a little over a third of all taxes.
That's good.
That is who is going to be paying just a little more. And, you know, and again, I know that folks in that category and anybody that's listening is in that category. I'm not going to say, hey, I think that's a good thing for them. But the thing that's interesting is if, and this is the way I try to put a positive spin on it, if we do have an economy that improves somehow because of this, I don't know if that, or maybe improves because we don't have to cut spending so much because we are going to have that additional tax revenue. Or
there's more confidence because the debt is coming down.
Exactly.
If it
any of those
to
things
that
are positive that come from that, those people that have obviously more assets, you know, if they own Whirlpool or General Electric and they own stock in a company that's selling washers and dryers to the people that are buying them, and people do that more because the economy is getting better. In other words, they're going to benefit from that.
They will participate to their share in growth, at least.
Or more.
Yeah, or more.
And that's my point. They may make more money after taxes than they would by a slowing economy, even though they're paying a higher rate. And I think that's the thing that we got to, you know, it's not a zero-sum game.
Yep, I'd be inclined to agree with you there.
Okay, good. I appreciate that.
I want to update you on a story that I told you about probably a month or so ago. Do you recall I told you about a gentleman who was auctioning off his last name as a marketing ploy?
Yeah, what was his name, Scott Connor?
No, gosh, no. His name was Jason Sadler.
Now what is it?
His name for the entirety of 2013 and only for 2013 is JasonHeadsets.com.
That is so funny. And how much is Jason getting for this?
$45,000.
You're kidding me.
No.
Okay, so here's an obvious, dumb, and naive question. Why aren't other people doing this?
I'm sure they will.
They will.
Headsets.com has a history of creative marketing. 3 years ago, they offered free headsets for life to anyone who got a tattoo of the company's name. And they actually had six people take them up on that.
You know?
It's not a small company. They do about $30 million in sales. And here we are talking about them, which we most certainly never would have otherwise.
Well, they're in headsets. They do tattoo service.
So look
and
for
they also
Jason
do sell. They sell domain names now,
yep,
too, I suppose.
JasonHeadsets.com in the neighborhood near you. Let's talk a little bit about the Santa Claus rally, since markets have been up really significantly for the last couple of days. A lot of talk about a Santa Claus rally, but it's used an awful lot for any market that's up in the month of December is generally painted with this title of the Santa Claus rally. But really, the firm definition of a Santa Claus rally, which was created in 1972, covers only the last five trading days of the year plus the first 2 days of the new year.
Okay.
So for us, that's going to be a little bit different because of the way the holidays fall this year. But generally speaking, over that 7 day period, the S&P averages about 1.5% gain or so.
It's not a time to sit out, so to speak, if you look at the historical.
Yeah, probably not a time to sit out. And the thought being that most losses are being harvested by professional investors before the Christmas holiday, and then they come back after the Christmas holiday, and they have to put that money back to work because professional investors don't like to have cash, generally speaking.
They've got to do what you call the window dressing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they've got to get that money put to work, and so that puts some of that final 7 day buying pressure in the market.
A couple things I was going to ask you about. The munis, you mentioned about municipal failures. And with all the, you know, again, if there's not a lot of change to the tax code, is there an opportunity? Has there been a sell-off in munis because of the potential for the tax break to go away? And now maybe there's an opportunity to get back into that?
Yeah, munis have been on a huge rally really the entire year. Munis and high yields are really looked at as two of the areas in the marketplace that are most likely to be experiencing a bubble, although neither one of them really has shown any initial indications of popping.
So you're saying just the opposite. Any impact of a potential tax law change as it relates to the non-taxation of muni bond interest income not really been affected that much.
Yeah, I don't think the market really considers that there is a real possibility that muni bonds will become taxable.
So then that was never really priced in. So there's still so at this point, then you say, hey, again, overbought or over the price is really too high for the munis, and maybe also for what was the other one you
high
mentioned?
Yield.
High yields.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I've seen so many things on high yields lately in all the Wall Street Journal and all the other publications that people have just piled in. The price is high, which brings the yield down, and the yield is much lower than it should be for the amount of risk you're taking.
Yeah, most people don't realize how much risk is in high yield bonds. Generally, I consider it to be almost equity level risk, depending on how junky your junk is.
Because it starts acting more like an equity because it moves with the strength of the company.
Yeah, and the safety net of a bond being that you'll get your capital back is not necessarily there at all on a high yield bond.
Is it on a, well, now that raises a great question. Is it on a more higher quality bond?
Yeah, I mean, really, that's what a credit rating is your potential of getting your cash flow and your principal back at the end of the period.
But it's not guaranteed. It's still a security.
Right. There are municipal bonds that are guaranteed by third parties.
Insured bonds.
Yeah, they're insured.
But not corporate bonds.
But not corporate. So
I mean, corporate bond, it's a promise from that. Now,
that's
there could be assets that are pledged and stuff like that.
Yeah, but there is no guarantee. And, of course, there is an implied guarantee on U.S. Treasuries, but you very well may be paid back in dollars that are worth significantly less than the dollars that you gave them.
Well, can't argue with that, Scott. That's entirely possible. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. And Scott's going to stay for another segment. Stay tuned.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
So tell us, Scott's telling me on the break, there's a big, I would say, snafu or something going on with Instagram.
Yeah, neither you or I are social media people, so I can't completely explain exactly what an Instagram is, although it's from my understanding, it's a way to sort of blast your pictures around to everybody via your Facebook.
Take a picture and it goes to your Facebook account and everybody gets it right away.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Instagram now owned by Facebook. You know, it looked like Facebook was starting to make some real business decisions for a while, particularly after the IPO debacle. Mr. Zuckerberg came out and said, we're going to run it like a business. We have a plan and so on and so on. They bought Instagram.
What, like $1 billion?
Uh-huh. Instagram in the news on Tuesday's trade because they came out with a new policy that says if you take a picture and distribute it through Instagram, Instagram now owns that picture.
Okay.
And we can use it for whatever we want to use it for. We can sell it to advertisers so they can see what kind of clothes you're wearing. We can use your picture in a print advertisement if we want. We own the picture. And if you don't like it, there's no opt-out. Your only option is to not Instagram. I think, and most of the analysis I read on Tuesday was that they will have to step back from that policy.
Well, to play devil's advocate, I imagine there's a concern from them about, you know, okay, well, it gets out there and their ability to control that. But, you know, it's all of this is true with these social sites and all the stuff you put out there. I've just now gotten comfortable while I'm willing to send a picture through an email or attached. What's really cool is doing it through a text, sending a text message to somebody. You can send the pictures. I do that a lot. You haven't been a recipient of my very sometimes funny text pictures, but I'll start including you on that, Scott.
It's not necessary. My phone is a rotary phone.
Uh-huh. Oh, that reminds me. I'm glad you said that. You reminded me. There was a Yahoo. I thought you'd get a kick out of this. There was a Yahoo non-scientific poll. A judge denies Apple's request to ban Samsung phones in the U.S. What's your take? So 32% said, I'm sticking with the iPhone. There's nothing like it. That would be me. I like the iPhone because I'm lazy and I like what I already know. I'm a Samsung Android fan like Lisa. Better features are available. 40% people said that. And then Scott Connor and another 29% said, I'm still using a landline.
Yeah, all I really want from my phone is for it to hold music and make phone calls.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
I'm happy.
Hey, listen, I have to confess, I do have a second cell phone that is my kind of like my bat phone that nobody has the number. And I keep it on my bike when I go for a bike ride in case I have to call for a flat tire or something. But I've got that just in case. And that's my secret little private one. And so I've got the Apple, which is my work, you know, kind of my working phone. And then the backup one.
Huh.
More than you wanted to know, I'm sure. But
well,
so be careful on those social sites. I think that's the message from Mr. Connor.
Yeah. You really have to know what the user agreements are.
And you know
what
else is? Don't take pictures that you don't want the world to see.
That's a really good idea. Yep, absolutely. Or
don't say anything that you don't want somebody else to see. Like that. Remember that video of President Clinton with him answering all the questions and the whole, it depends on what the definition of is.
Yeah.
That was a video that was supposed to stay confidential, and it didn't stay that way for long.
Yeah, or the 47% video, which certainly changed the history, certainly have changed the history of the United States. Here's another interesting marketing idea. The Mayan doomsday is upon us. December 21st is the Mayan calendar's end date, so I'm told. There are several companies who are trying to capitalize on this. For $79,000 per couple at the Rosewood Mayacoba in Riviera Maya in Mexico, they have the ultimate new beginning package, which gives you a spiritual cleansing with a Mayan shaman and a private helicopter tour to view the architectural sites. The JW Marriott Resort in Cancun, you can visit the ancient ruins of Chichen Itza and have a Mayan-inspired spa treatment. So people are trying to go out with a bang here as far as the end of...
Yeah, talk about a cleansing. You'll be $79,000 lighter. That'll be part of the cleansing.
Yeah, yep. Well, people are trying to take advantage of that in any way they can. Also, if you have not finished your Christmas shopping, I want to share a couple of ideas with you. Sony has a new TV. It's called a 4K TV. 4K means it's four times higher resolution than the 1080p set. That sounds like it's right up your
alley.
How's
that compared to, Lisa?
Four times the resolution of a regular LED HD. That must be pretty good.
Okay, Lisa says that's good. She's saying that's pretty good.
It's so high resolution that there isn't much content out there. So if you buy one of these TVs, they give you 10 movies, including Spider-Man, Total Recall.
And you just put those on a circle and on a loop, right? And just keep watching it?
And thank goodness they give you the Karate Kid. That'll set you back about $25,000. And then also, if you really want to blow the budget for Mrs. Holland, there's a diamond-encrusted iPad that you can get out there called the Supreme Edition. From the UK's Stuart Hughes, it will cost you a mere $8 million.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Mrs. Holland uses my iPad that was a gift for me from my parents. And between her and the kids, I'm always looking for my iPad.
Maybe you could have a separate secret iPad that you could keep on your bike.
You know what? That's an excellent idea. I'll mount it to the handlebars and I'll have my, my clients already worry about me and my bike, but no, I'm not going to do that. But speaking of another cleansing you mentioned earlier, and also something that is definitely diamond encrusted, how's that for a segue? Sun Life Financial Inc., which was similar name, Sun Life of Canada, it's selling its domestic U.S. and annuity business and certain life insurance businesses to Guggenheim Partners.
Private equity.
Private equity again. There's a kind of a movement going on. Guggenheim, and there's another one on the hunt. They purchased a couple of other insurance companies recently. Purchased Security Benefit Life. They purchased Equitrust. And there are rumors, pure rumors, that they're circling Aviva with another company to maybe pick up and buy Aviva.
Have you seen consolidation in that industry before?
Yes, but it was more traditional where you would have a insurance holding company buy other insurance companies. In fact, I remember maybe it's been 10 years ago, but everybody's heard of American General, where there's another insurance company called General American, and they started having some difficulties. And what happened was the traditional white knight came in. Actually, it was the Snoopy. It was MetLife.
Yeah.
Came in and bought them and said, would you like to be part of our group? That's what historically has happened. Jefferson Pilot and some of these other companies have gone through this sort of thing. But this is very non-traditional. And it's got folks in the insurance industry a little bit concerned because it's a very different approach. And these are investment guys getting a hold of insurance companies. And they're saying, hey, we can do this better. Well, I don't know if I really want my clients' money being invested by hedge fund guys. You know, you need to be super safe with this money. So,
well, it should be interesting, not to mention the number of long-term care products that have either consolidated or disappeared.
So, no, we're going to be very much watching the developments in this area closely. Lisa, do we need to take another break? Lisa says one more break. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. I've still got stuff spread out all over the desk here to talk about. Scott does too, so hurry back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. I've got some stuff here. What do you got? You wanted to talk about Medicaid planning. I'm surprised you want to talk about that.
Well, it's been in the mainstream press recently. A survey of last week from Nationwide Financial found that about half of financial advisors who had been polled or asked about Medicaid planning said most of their clients have brought that up, Medicaid planning as a strategy, which is, as you know, where you start to give away all your money so that you can go on Medicaid. The government has also started cracking down using a five-year look-back period.
Have they ever.
And they will deny an application if they think somebody is trying to surreptitiously get access to the Medicaid program.
Yeah, we actually had, and I think I may not have mentioned it to you because you were already back over managing portfolios. We had the president of Nationwide Financial Distributors on the program talking about that very subject. What do you know? And it doesn't come up often with my clients, our clients, but... It is something people wonder about, and I just think there's a lot better ways. If you really need Medicaid, okay,
yeah, that's what it's there for.
But don't pretend to be broke when you're not, and there are other ways to address your need for long-term care.
Plus, I think the end-of-life Medicaid experience is probably not overly positive.
It can't be. I would want to stay much more in control of my situation.
Well, speaking of somebody who has lost control out of the end of their life situation and is in probably a rather uncomfortable scenario, we have just passed the four-year anniversary of the Madoff scheme.
I hear that the trustee has actually done a very good job of going back and, you know, doing that reclaw thing where he goes and reclaws and gets money back from people that shouldn't have gotten money, investors and whatnot, and suing institutions that should have, could have, would have known better or been involved. The numbers are pretty substantial of what they've been able to collect for victims of the scam.
Yeah, they have been good. Really much, much better than I think anybody expected. But, on the date of the anniversary, probably not a bad idea to review some of the basic fraud aversion techniques. Is the custodian that's holding your money the same person that's managing the money? That's
definitely not
bad if it is. Has the advisor made a clear investment philosophy to you? And does the advisor use an independent accountant to double check all the process? And so those are things that you can look at. One tip here in the article that I'm looking at is when you get your statement from your advisor, call the 800 number listed on the statement and make sure that it does actually go to Fidelity or TD Ameritrade or wherever it may go.
Or is it a made up thing? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All of our clients, money's either at Fidelity. We still have a few at Ameritrade, but most are at Fidelity. And I tell my clients, we don't have access to that money. We can do two things. We can place trades, which Mr. Connor does very well, and we can collect our fee. That's
and I think
it.
All that applies to annuities as well. You have to be aware that the money should really be in the right hands.
Exactly. And it's good to check things out. And I've had clients say, how do I check this out? I'm like, please do. Pick up the statement. You call or here's the number. And it's pretty straightforward.
Yep. Check your advisor's credentials.
Have you been reading my book, How to Get
FINRA
Great Advice
Records,
and Avoid Scams?
I have read all of your books so many times. I know them by rote.
I'll bet you take them home and read them at night when you can't fall asleep.
Indeed, I do.
And any thoughts? So if we're in the tax picture we're in, nothing really radical that we need to do with our portfolios here at year end. If it ends up being what it sounds like it's going to be, you know, hit the top 1/10 or 1/4 of 1% of taxpayers, not a lot of other changes.
Yeah, I mean, I think really if you're looking at your portfolio and you have significant gains in a couple of positions and you're thinking maybe, well, this gain has run its course or this is not a position that fits in my portfolio or my risk profile, then go ahead and sell it. But to sell it specifically because you think there may be a change in tax rates is not a sound philosophy.
Oh, hey, one more thing. You mentioned Bernie Madoff, ex-Dallas Cowboy sentenced to a scam.
Oh.
In a scam. Eugene Lockhart, the former Dallas Cowboys linebacker, sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for his role in a $20.5 million mortgage fraud, where he used, obviously, his association with the National Football League. So he was once known as the Mean Gene, the hitting machine.
Mm.
Well, I hope he can maintain that reputation in prison. The thing that a lot of these problems that we hear about have in common is people lower their guard because of something. Oh, you know my friend, or it's a friend of mine, or it's a friend of a friend.
Or
it goes to the same church, or it's a NFL football player. All these things that people they suspend their normal skepticism.
Yeah.
And that's when they get in trouble. Not you, Mr. Connor. You maintain your skepticism.
Mine increases.
You know what, though? That's not a bad idea. In fact, I had this happen the other day at my church. I had a woman come up and talk to me and say, I need to come in and see you. And I said, sure, fine. Let me give you one of my cards. Because, you know, in church, I'm just a regular guy. Safe place for me just to be there for the right reason, you know, not handing out my business card. So yeah. I had to say, well, let me see if I have a card with me. It's not something I think about when I go to church.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, unfortunately, some of these scam artists in particular, do think about it on the way to church or whatever their angle is to try to get to your money.
Yep. So it's like they said in Hill Street Blues, be careful out there.
It's a dangerous street on the road to retirement. All right. We're out of time. Tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.